This Advent season, we're going to go to Narnia. Now, you may wonder, why Narnia? Well, Jesus was a lover of telling stories. And I believe there is power in telling stories. C.S. Lewis is one of the great storytellers that are out there. A man who was an atheist, but a man who came to faith under the tutelage of another great writer named J.R. Tolkien. And I want us to go into Narnia. Anyone ever read or seen the movie? All right, that's good. A lot of you have. It's because what I want us to understand that as we walk through the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you're going to see some deep spiritual truth that I think can help us explain the gospel to those who have never heard the story. For those of you who haven't heard the story, C.S. Lewis opens this book with characters Peter, Edmund, Susie, and Lucy. They're shipped off from London. World War II is going on, and London is being bombed. And they are sent to an old house with a professor and a crotchety old lady named Mrs. McCready. You can almost picture the story. Don't do this! Don't touch that! Never bug the professor! Man, could you imagine growing up in that kind of a home? It was no fun at all. But what are you going to do? There's a war going on. And there, one day, playing hide and seek, the youngest of them all, named Lucy, she ends up pulling the sheet off of a wardrobe. She opens it and she longs for a place to hide. And there she enters it, and she backs in, make sure I don't hit the fire, and backs in. And she ends up, and she pricks some trees, and she enters into Narnia. And there, the battle is going to begin. The battle between good and evil is going to begin to be dealt with. And Lucy, she discovers there's more to the robe than meets the eye. And as she enters in, she comes up and she ends up at a lamppost, which will lead her and guide her along the way. Jesus says in the book of John, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's from the book of John. And it's interesting to note that it's not by accident that John begins the book of John with talking about light. In fact, he begins this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. Out of the roughly 70 times that the word light is used in the New Testament, 33 of them come in the book of John. Picture what it was like to hear those words. If you lived during the time of Jesus, they didn't have lights like we did. They didn't have oil lamps. They didn't have kerosene lamps. They didn't have generators. Your house would simply be lit by a small light, a candle, which barely would pierce the darkness. If you were lucky and you were wealthy enough in the time of the Bible, there may have been a torch, which would have lit some part of the house, but still a lot of it would have been dark. So Jesus, claiming to be the light of the world, was going to be a radical statement for all those who would have heard it. The light of the world draws us deeper into the story of salvation. And if you've read the book or you've seen the movie, you'll notice that when Lucy opens the wardrobe and she backs into Narnia, she leaves the door of the wardrobe open. And she begins her journey into Narnia. I think like Lucy, we would be smart to leave the door open for the story of God. That we would leave the door open to what God might be saying, that what how God might be at work, to the reality of the gospel itself. Before we even got to Narnia, there was one other book. It was The Magician's Nephew, where Lewis tells the story of how the wardrobe came to be. How it was made out of a magical kind of wood. But even more than that, there was something even more significant that was built that wasn't magical or mystical or real, that enters us into the story of a very real world of hope and of victory and of grace. And it speaks to a wood that built an old Roman cross that leads to the story of life, to a better world beyond our imagination. Not just in eternity, but a world for already and right now. The light of the world means life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 12, we read the words, I have come into the world so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And then catch this one. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. In him is life. Have you ever thought for a moment about the power of light and how life-giving it is? Delman tells of the idea of photosynthesis, where he writes this. In photosynthesis, light means life. In the presence of light, green plants convert water, carbon dioxide, and minerals into carbohydrates and oxygen. If there was no light, there would be no photosynthesis. If there was no photosynthesis, there would be no more life. Light means life. Or as Healthline.com says, have you ever noticed, not today because it's not very sunny, but sunny days boost our vitamin D level. They help ward off seasonal depression. It improves sleep. It reduces the risk of fluorescent lighting. It increases not only productivity, but mental stimulation and recall. Now, I'm not going to say this right, but it also reduces the rhythm of the circadian system. Even more than that, the story to which the Bible and C.S. Lewis is pointing us towards is that if you ever really want to live, we need to know Christ, to be open to his power and his story and his working in our lives by surrendering our lives to him. The light of the world changes everything. Picture for a moment, if you've read the book or seen the movie, that rainy day where the children are forced to play hide and seek so not to bug the professor. And Lucy goes hiding and she backs into this wonderful, mysterious world of Narnia. And intrigued by not only the tree, she walks towards the lamppost. She begins to hear of trees that talked, of animals that talked, of funny animals like the fawn or the centaur. Could you picture for a moment being Lucy, finding your way through maybe not a wardrobe, but little tunnels in your house that maybe you can crawl through the attic and you enter into a mysterious world? Which one of you, I suspect all of us, would enjoy sitting there and being inside of a beaver dam and having tea with the beavers? Or talking to a fawn? And that's where Lucy finds herself. She makes her way with Mr. Toomas to his home. And they begin to have tea and they begin to talk. And Lucy goes, I love winter. There's skating and there's sledding and there's Christmas. To which Mr. Toomis says, not here. It's always winter and it's never Christmas. The light of the world points the way. Have you ever noticed how even a small candle like that, it draws our attention? Now, I can remember the days where the few times that we went camping. And if you've been camping, you can recall that at night, if you've ever need to go to the bathroom, there's usually this big beacon of light on the washroom that points the way. Or if you need to make your way back, you've got your flashlight, which will show you how to go. Or if you've been to a cottage, you'll notice that if you're bringing your boat in at night, we usually have the solar lighting at the dock, so you can bring the boat in, or you can make your way upstairs. Or you have kerosene lamps to pierce the darkness. Or if you draw it into the biblical story, think of Moses who gets a burning bush. Or if you think of the Christmas story, you think of a star that began to point the way. For the wise men, for the shepherds, but also for Herod to inquire of the story that's there. The light of the gospel, the light of the world, Jesus, not only pierces the darkness, but it shows you how to live. The light of the world points out the dangers that are in the world and shows us how to stay clear. Lucy realizes that the story has more than meets the eye. Will you get lost in the story this Christmas with me? Because the light of the world changes everything. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and I have come to pierce the darkness. For the hearers of Jesus' time, what Jesus was about to say and just did say was revolutionary. Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah of the world. He was claiming to be the one who led them not only out of Egypt, but would ultimately deliver them from all of their sin and give them life and grace and freedom and hope and peace and victory. But the light does something when you hear what Jesus does. It says something about ourselves. After this great conversation between Mr. Toomis and Lucy, who sells out Lucy to the evil, wicked queen, he realizes what he has just done. And he helps get her back towards not only the lamppost, but to the trees in which the wardrobe hid, and she could make her way back. But the light revealed the brokenness and the sin of Mr. Toomis' story. And I believe that same light dispels the brokenness within our story. But the light of the world also says something about Jesus. The light points out that he is who he said he is. The light of the world tells us something not only about his life, but his death, but his resurrection, and how his light pierces our story so that we would be able to know how to truly live. For the light shows us the way of salvation. John says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in the first chapter it says this, yet to all who received him, to all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So not only did the light of the world pierce the darkness so we could see our need for a Savior, the light of the world points out that he is the one. but it also points out that it is for you and for me, that we don't need to earn it, that we can't buy salvation, but the light of the world comes into our story and offers us the greatest gift that we could ever receive. And he simply says, receive it. Receive the gift that I'm about to give you and surrender your life to me. And that same light causes us to grow. As you walk in the light of the mysterious power of the gospel, you begin to grow and you begin to come more like Christ. You begin to grow in grace and faith and assurance and hope. And that light gives reassurance. It gives reassurance for us, much like all of Narnia needed to hear, is that there is victory and hope and power in the name of Jesus. There is strength in the midst of our struggles. It's a message that speaks to you and I today as it did 2,000 years ago. Because there is not a day that you will open the paper and you will not hear about wars or the rumors of wars. You don't hear about global political tensions. Not a week goes by that we don't hear about security breaches. The latest one is not Facebook. The latest one is a hotel chain that not only gave out credit card information, but passport information of numerous guests around the world. We live in a world where companies are continuing to shut down like General Motors and move out of our country. We live in a world where disasters like the wildfires still ravishing through California are going on. And we need a little bit of light. We need a little bit of grace. We need a little bit of hope. And Jesus gives us that. Lucy comes stumbling out of the doorway. She comes back to her brothers and her sisters and says, "Didn't you miss me? I've been gone for a long time." To which her brothers and sister kind of scratch their head and say, "It's only been a few minutes." But see the connection here to the scriptures. She tells her brothers and her sisters everything that she has seen. And like the women at the tomb, she says, "Come and see. Come and see this story." And at first, they chalk it off to her being silly. But after a while, Edmund goes in, and then Susan and Peter come into the story. And as they enter into the story of Narnia, the witch's power begins to decrease, that the spell starts to get broken after not being there for centuries. Father Christmas enters into the story. I don't know if it was by chance or on purpose that he named the heroine in the story Lucy. Svensson, in his writing on this, says her name, translated from the Latin, means bringer of light. As we enter into the story, much like Lucy, you and I are called to be bringers of the light of the gospel. She's also the patron saint to the blind. How apropos is it that we find ourselves in the story, that you and I are called not only to be tellers of the story, but to share it for those who are spiritually blind or who are hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest, to tell the story so that sight could be returned, sight could be given to those who are trying to understand the wonderful power of the gospel. And here we have Lucy as our story opens. Like the woman at the tomb, she invites people to come and see under great skepticism. And yet she bears witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Like John, she's not only immensely close to the land of Narnia, but to the ruler like Philip. In the Gospel of John, when Nathanael comes and he's filled with skepticism, says, come and see. And he invites them to come and to investigate. People of God, the light of the world has entered into our story. I believe we'll find ourselves in one of three places this morning. We may find ourselves this morning in the story of the wicked witch, of our fond Mr. Toomis, who are caught in a world of darkness, who are caught under the burden of sin and the brokenness of our story and are looking for a way out. To which this morning, Jesus, the light of the world, points us the way out to life and hope and victory. This morning, we may find ourselves, at least in the early stages of the story, like Edmund and Peter and Susan, filled with skepticism of the truth of the story that Lucy had told them. Skepticism that Jesus really is the light of the world. Or maybe this morning we find ourselves in Lucy, an excited character overwhelmed by the story that you have entered into, who can't simply wait to say, come and see. It doesn't matter where you are on your story. Doesn't matter if you're Mr. Toomis. It doesn't matter if you're Edmund or Lucy or Peter. Come and see the greatest story that you're about to hear that will change your life forever and ever. People of God, wherever you find your story, yourself in the story this morning, God's grace is sufficient enough. And he longs to have a deep and abiding relationship with you. You come this Advent season, come into the story of the gospel. Amen. We're going to pray this morning, and want to welcome a couple people specifically, and I'm going to butcher your names, and I apologize for that. A couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, I'm told that we sponsored another refugee family who are living in Richmond Hill now, and want to just welcome you, and Mahuba and Ahmed, is that right? Is that close? You want to just show who you are? Well, yeah, welcome. Yeah. And they brought a number of friends with them. You know what? Welcome. We're glad to have you. And I understand you brought us a treat for after the service. Looking forward to that. So welcome. So hopefully after the service, you can welcome our guests, and again, any other guest that is with us as well this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the opportunity to be the church. Lord, we give you thanks for the work of our deacons and our denomination, Lord, who one of the things that they do is help support sponsoring and working with refugees as they not only leave their country, but come to this country and assimilate into this country. So Lord, we want to just give you thanks for our friends that are here this morning. We just pray that their adjustment to this country and its language and its culture would just continue to grow more and more every day. We thank you for the work of our deacons in this partnership, Lord, and again, of our recent refugee family. And Lord, we just give you thanks that as your church, we can partner not only here but around the world to tell the story of the light of the world. We think of that with Phil and Janetta, Lord, in Tanzania, in their work with agriculture and medicine. We just pray that you too would use them to that end, that they too would be able to, in word and in deed, tell that story. And Lord, I think of this season that we're entering into. Lord, for some people, Christmas is the hardest and the darkest and the loneliest season of the year. Lord, I just pray that if that is the case for us this morning, that there may be a sense of peace. that there may be a stirring of your spirit, that the overwhelming message of the story of the gospel would bring peace and comfort and strength and hope for whatever we may be facing this Christmas season. And Lord, we just pray that you would use us this morning to tell the story of the light of the world, who not only provided the way of salvation, but whose story today continues to change lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use us to be bearers of the light, that skeptic and the rebellious and the wayward and the lonely and the hurting may come this Advent season to once again hear, or maybe for the first time hear, the greatest story ever told, the greatest true story that has ever been told and lives within each side of us because of the power of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen.